We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Wow, a little sledgehammer action. John Richard, do you remember the television show Sledgehammer?
Sure.
Probably like, what, 1 or 2 years, 1980s?
I just saw that actor. Recently.
That guy. Something.
And I don't know his name.
Blonde hair, right?
Yeah.
That guy was...
You remember this video? This sledgehammer video? It was motion. Really creative. Really good video.
And Peter Gabriel, what's going on with him these days? You don't hear much of him anymore.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, he was big, man. He was really big. Not as big as Elliot Shore Parks is these days. Let's go out right now and talk to our buddy. Kind enough, normally Ron Jaworski joins us if you're looking for Jaws right now. Normally it's Jaws at this time. But Jaws was on with us yesterday because today he was given a speech in front of a contingent from Army and Navy as they get closer to the Army-Navy game coming up. So we turn to our pal moving from Thursdays to Wednesdays this week. We appreciate it, Mr. Elliot Shore Parks. How you doing, Elliot?
Man, from Tuesdays to Thursdays to Wednesdays, I'm just honored you guys have me on. Whatever you have time for,
dude.
Me, I'm happy
to be on. Listen, you and I got to connect off the air, and I got to say I'm sorry, but we'll get to that another time. You're a good man, Elliot. So, despite the fact I didn't really go to your wedding and just showed up at the very end to make a token appearance, it's a whole nother.
Yeah,
matter.
That basically saves the whole thing. Otherwise, I'd never exactly. come on again. Yeah.
All right, Elliot. Sirianni just spoke, and we'll do a dive on certain aspects. Well, let's just start with this. Was he asked about Malcolm Jenkins?
He was not, and I think that's because the chances of that happening are probably so slim it's not worth asking. I don't think he would really even answer it, but you know, it is a topic, and no, he wasn't asked about it, and I would be very surprised if Malcolm joins this team for a number of reasons, but I think it's probably pretty slim.
So just detail that. Just the
top reason that you don't think he'll be here.
Well, one, I think they like Reed Blankenship, right? I think they have more trust in him than probably the outside public does. Two, Malcolm hasn't played all year, so that's part of it. But three, I also just think if you look at what's going on with this team right now, I think they have a great kind of culture thing going. It seems like, you know, all the vibes are really good there right now. And I'm not saying Malcolm would disrupt that in a negative way, because I covered Malcolm when he was here in Philadelphia, and I think he was an awesome asset to that locker room. But Malcolm is also a natural leader. Like, he's kind of like Jalen in that way, where people can't help but gravitate to him. And so it's a big personality to put into the locker room this late in the season. So I think that would be probably one of the reasons that they would probably just want to kind of keep things as they are at the NovaCare.
Hmm. Huh. Okay.
I mean, listen, Malcolm is a big presence. He is and I would go for him, but I get your point, Elliot. They do have good mojo going. Let me ask you this,
remember,
Elliot.
Who is
the leader on defense?
Well, I think Darius Slay is a leader on defense. Voted a captain this year for the first time. Guys really do gravitate to him for sure. So I would say he is probably the top leader on the defense. I mean, Brandon is someone that all the guys look up to and like. But I think in terms of like who's the personality of the defense, I would probably say Slay at this point.
Jeez. I'm surprised at that.
Well, I mean, you don't normally see with a corner, but he is him and Cox are the two most accomplished defensive players on the team, probably with Brandon Graham. I mean, Darius
Slay. Sue now, too.
Oh, and Sue. Yeah, and Sue, for sure. That's exactly right.
Hey, Elliot, why do you believe the Eagles run the ball too much?
Well, I don't know if I would say that they're running it too much. I mean, I'm guessing you're talking about my concern about the passing game. I think for one game, like what they did on Sunday night against the Packers, if you have to win a game that way, then I'm okay with that. And I actually think it's to a certain extent, Sirianni's strength, that he is willing to just do what that game calls for. He is not going to, you know, throw it every week just because that's what they do. He's willing to adjust. But let's also all be honest here. This team is only going to go as far as their passing game takes them. We can be worried about the special teams, the run defense, all those things. The difference between this year's team and last year's team is that this year's team, early on in the year, was able to throw the ball. Over the last month, the passing game has not been as good. I think part of that is Goddard. I think part of it is the way they're adjusting without Goddard is more Jalen Hurts running plays. But the passing game hasn't been as good. If you look at their stats over the last month, they'd be 31st in the league in passing yards per game. So it's not just, you know, they're running it more. When they're passing it, they're not passing it as well. So that would be my concern moving forward is I want to see the passing game get back to what it is at the beginning of the season.
That's really interesting.
So
and it's
why?
Not something,
yeah, no, we haven't talked
it's not
about
something
it.
We've talked about. Elliot, I am definitely worried about the pass protection, the drop-back pass protection, and I do think that negatively impacts our production throwing the football. But that
100%, yeah.
All right. It really is a direction that we haven't gone.
No, we haven't.
And, I mean, look, you bring up the pass protection. I think sometimes when you hear criticism of the passing game in general, it falls right on the quarterback. I don't think it's all on Jalen. Like, I do think pass protection is part of the problem. I think A.J. hasn't been as good over the last month as he was over the first month, right? They don't have Goddard. I mean, maybe the coaches are adjusting to what they were doing in the passing game. Like, I think there's a plethora of things. But at the end of the day, they can win with this with the special teams that they have. They can win with the run defense they have. They cannot win in the playoffs if the passing game doesn't get better. Like, that's just a fact. So that would be my biggest concern.
And the biggest issue with it is, I mean, you went through a list there, but what's number one? Because I think John would probably say the O-line, right, John? O-line blocking?
Yeah. I think that prevents
Do you think that's number one, Elliot? Number one issue there?
I wouldn't say that's number one. I think that part of it is that Goddard is gone. You know, obviously, he was a big part of that passing game. They've had to adjust to it. And I think there are some circumstantial things. Like, the Packers were really bad at stopping the run. Like, that was part of it. But I think in general, and this is almost maybe worrisome in a way, I don't think it's one thing. Like, I don't think it's Jalen's accuracy has been bad or his decision-making. I think it's, like John said, I think the pass protection hasn't been as good. I think they're missing Goddard. And they're turning the ball over a lot, too. Like, that is also part of it. AJ has two fumbles. Quez had that fumble. So they've just become sloppy in the passing game. Like, when I watch the passing game, it doesn't look as good as it did at the beginning of the year.
All right, Ellie, let's talk about a part of the team that looks horrible, and it's special teams. Now, we've seen Covey de-emphasize as a kick returner. We've seen some changes on the defensive tackles where they brought in players. I mean, they have made changes when they feel like they need to. Do you think this is the week where there will be changes to who plays on special teams? The options are play starters on special teams, deactivate some backups and bring in new guys off the street or from the practice squad. Do you think we'll see a different – you could also, of course, deactivate Covey and then have an extra special teamer there and use one of the other players as a returner and maybe get a better coverage guy out there. Do you think there will be changes this week?
Yeah, I mean, they could also straight up just cut Covey. If you look at the fact that Jordan Davis is coming back, they need a roster spot for him. They have to decide what they're going to do with Gardner Johnson. So it's possible this is the week Covey is released. They could promote Greg Ward on a week-by-week basis from the practice squad to return punts. But in terms of major changes to personnel, I do think you will see some, but I would caution the team against putting starters on the special teams unit. I understand that it's worrisome, and clearly it's impacting the team. You look at those returns last week, it put the defenses in bad spots. But at the same time, if you're the Eagles, do you really want to risk like starters on the special teams unit, you know, over 15 yards of field position? I think it's something they're going to consider. I think they're going to overreact to correct the problem. But this is a team that's dealing with a lot of injuries, and the idea of risking like Devontae Smith at punt returner or, you know, a starting linebacker on the special teams unit, to me, does not seem worth it.
Elliot, Zach Pascal was, a signing I was pretty excited about. Kind of flew under the radar a little bit. He only had 9 snaps offensively in this last game, and we did hear about how he could be a good special teamer. He only had 7 special team snaps.
Yeah.
Considering the fact that we're down our star tight end, he is a slot wide receiver. Why didn't he play more? Why isn't he more involved? What's going on with Zach Pascal?
Yeah. Well, I think Pascal is a player that when they game plan, they do not game plan for Zach Pascal, right? When the coaches meet, they talk about AJ, Devontae, and it used to be Goddard, but obviously not Goddard anymore. So Zach is somebody that's only going to get in and only going to get targets on a circumstantial basis. If they feel a certain personnel package works, or if, you know, very slim situations. I mean, there's been a few third and shorts where they've liked him out in the flat, but he's just not somebody that they game plan for. So in terms of offense, I don't think you're going to see him get any type of increased role. Now on special teams,
I think that's a mistake.
Well,
we're leaning into like Grant Calcaterra, who had 23 offensive snaps, yet Zach Pascal, who is proven
positions.
In this league, can't get on the field.
Yeah. Well, I mean, for what it's worth, they do play different positions. I know that Pascal can do a lot of the things that tight ends do in a way, but you know, Calcaterra is an actual tight end.
Yeah, tight ends are bigger. I mean, if you're going to do,
but he's a receiving tight end. I mean, he's not a guy who you pride on his blocking.
He's also learning a different part of the playbook, right? Like he's in the tight end room. Pascal's in the receiver room. So I think I understand what you're saying on why is Calcaterra getting snapped over Pascal, but I think that is simply because of the position and they like to have one or two tight ends out there at almost all times. Now, in terms of special teams, maybe Pascal is somebody they put out there more and, you know, they feel that because he's a veteran and all those things, he could be an impact. But I don't think you're going to see, a big Zach Pascal emergence in the offense.
What's going on with Avante Maddox's health?
Yeah, so he's still on IR. I believe he's eligible to return, not this week, but I believe it might be the next week. And that, you know, of all the injuries, I think that's the one that's most concerning. Because Jordan Davis, who could come back this week, like, they don't need Jordan Davis as much as they need Avante. When you look at Dallas Goedert, his injury is upper body, right? I think in the middle of the season, in season, what you worry about is lower body injuries because they can linger and they're tough to get back from. And so Avante dealing with a hamstring injury that is, A, really hard to recover from in season for any position, but especially a cornerback. Like, I think they're doing right by making him sit out and try to get back to 100%. But he would be the one I'd be worried about coming back because he's a key part of that defense. And Josiah Scott, although he did have the interception, I think he's only really been okay in that role. So, yeah, I think it'll be another 2 weeks at least for Avante, but I think they'll slow play it, and I think that's the right move with this injury.
Elliot, people say I shouldn't even have Minnesota in this question, so I guess I won't. Dallas or San Fran, who's the bigger threat to the Eagles?
Tough, because I think they're both really big threats. I mean, for different reasons. I mean, you look at San Francisco, I think the biggest threat they pose is not – I mean, their defense is obviously great, but they have players that are so hard to tackle in space. And this is such, at times, a poor tackling defense. I'd be really concerned about that. And they have playoff experience. But ultimately, I think if you had to pick which one, I'd pick Dallas, just because this team has not beaten Dak yet, right? And they do have a great defensive line. They have a great defense. And that they just have a better quarterback than San Francisco does. So I think at the end of the day, both teams pose a lot of threats to the Eagles. But I think of the two, I would say Dallas is probably the bigger threat.
Elliot, good stuff, pal. Looking forward to talking to you next week. Thanks as always, and thanks for changing the time this week, man. Much appreciated.
Yeah, excited to see what day it is. Talk to you guys soon.
Thanks, Elliot.
Yeah, exactly right. Elliot's kind of gotten the short end of the stick this year. I'll say, John, there were some Thursdays, there were some Phillies games in there, all sorts of stuff. Elliot's been a trooper, and we appreciate it. Hey, up ahead, we'll open up some conversation about the 76ers. Intriguing matchup Sunday when the Eagles take on Tennessee. Intriguing matchup tonight when the Sixers take on the Cavs. Yeah, it's not LeBron's Cavs, but it's a pretty good Cavs team. We'll get into that and rock all your calls. Joe DeCameron, John Rich on WIP.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.